It is so nice that we can visit. You don't really appreciate that until you get cooped up in your house for 4 days. And so it's awfully nice to be able to visit. This morning, we're going to talk about purifying ourselves because of hope. There's some really powerful things that exist in our lives. One of the powerful things that exists is love. There is a book called The Wisdom of Esdras. It's a part of the Apocrypha books that were written that some people include in their Bibles. Most people don't. The conclusion is that they're not inspired, but this book of Esdras is a book of wisdom. And in the middle of that book, two men talk about the most powerful force in the universe. They talk about kings and they talk about military and they talk about all kinds of things. And the conclusion is that the most powerful thing in the universe is love. Because if your wife tells you not to do it, you're not going to do it if you're a wise man. And Ron and I can both testify that's the case. One of the other powerful forces that exists in our life is the idea of hope. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've been completely devoid of hope. I never have. I always, at some level, thought that there was some way that I could survive the situation that I was faced with. Closest I ever got to that was being in Barrow, Alaska. And I always had the impression that if I was in a plane wreck and everything fell apart and I was completely on my own, I could survive. I might get a little cold, I might get a little hungry, but I could get some shelter and I could find some kind of a critter to eat. If not a critter, I could find some kind of a plant to eat. And then I went to Barrow, Alaska. Let me tell you, there is no way that I would survive if a plane crashed in Barrow, Alaska, and I was completely on my own. There's no critters to eat. Well, the only critters that there are bigger than me, and they eat me. There's no way to make a shelter. There's no trees. It's just barren, bleak ice, and the wind blows all the time. They say snow doesn't melt in Barrow. It just wears out because it blows this way, and then it blows that way, and then it blows this way. That's the closest I've ever been to being hopeless. But the Bible talks about hope as a powerful force that helps us in our effort to be pure. It's in 1 John, the third chapter, the first 10 verses there. And I want to read that with you. I'm going to read this morning from the Contemporary English Version. I like the way it reads. It's a little bit easier to grasp what he's talking about. He says, "Think about how much the Father loves us. He loves us so much that he lets us be called his children as truly we are. But since the people of the world did not know who Christ is, they don't know who we are. My dear friends, we're already God's children. Although what we will be hasn't been seen yet. But we do know that when Christ returns, we'll be like him because we'll see him as he truly is. This hope makes us keep ourselves holy, just as Christ is holy. Everyone who sins breaks God's law, because sin is the same as breaking God's law. You know that Christ came to take away sins. He isn't sinful. People who stay one in their hearts with, and people who stay one in their hearts with Him won't keep on sinning. If they do keep on sinning, they do not know Christ. They've never seen Him. Children, don't be fooled. Anyone who does right is good, just like Christ Himself. Anyone who keeps on sinning belongs to the devil. He sinned from the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy all that He has done. God's children cannot keep on being sinful. His life-giving power lives in them, makes them His children so that they cannot keep on sinning. You can tell God's children from the devil's children, because those who belong to the devil refuse to do right or to love each other. Powerful statement. Go back to the end of that first thought. This hope makes us keep ourselves holy just as Christ is holy. You know, it reminds me of a statement that the Apostle Paul made in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. This is what Paul said. Don't you know that evil people won't have a share in the blessings of God's kingdom? Don't fool yourselves. No one who is immoral or worships idols or is unfaithful in marriage or is a pervert or behaves like a homosexual will share in God's kingdom. Neither will any thief or greedy person or drunkard or anyone who curses and cheats others. Some of you used to be like that. I did. Some of you used to be like that. But now the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God's Spirit have washed you and made you holy and acceptable to God. Those that are Christians, those that have put on Christ in baptism, those that have become new creatures can't be that way. We used to be that way, that's true, but we can't be that way, because we have the hope that the Apostle Paul describes. I was thinking about hope. Now Paul says, or John says, that we eagerly hope for what we know is coming. Jesus is coming back. And because we eagerly hope for that, we purify ourselves. So I thought about Jesus coming back. You know, at His first coming, Jesus became a servant, didn't He? He died on the cross in order to defeat Satan by His death. And the prophet Isaiah talks about Jesus in the way that we've seen Him. He says there was no form or comeliness in Him that anyone should desire Him. And I thought about that. You know, there's a sense in which the Apostle Paul realized that. He talked to the Corinthians a lot. And the outcome of it was they said, oh, His letters are weighty and powerful, but His bodily presence is weak and contemptible. No doubt. He was all beaten up. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been stoned and left for dead. He'd been beaten with cords. I can't imagine what His body must have looked like. There's just nothing about that that would want you, or that would make you want to be like Him. And in a sense, that's what happens when you see Jesus as he's described walking on this earth. Now, we weren't there. I didn't see Jesus when he was walking on the earth. A lot of people did. And what they saw was a battle-scarred warrior. And because he had come to destroy Satan and to be bruised on his heel by Satan from Genesis 3, because that was his role, he looked like that was his role. Nothing very attractive about that, is there? But John says, we know he's coming. Not that he has come. We know he's coming, and then we'll get to see him like he really is. There's only one time that people ever got to see Jesus in his glory. And I'm convinced that we didn't get to see it entirely. That was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter saw it. And he was so moved by what he saw that he said, we should build a temple here to worship those individuals that we see in front of us. And of course, God spoke from heaven. He said, this is my son. Hear him. What a fantastic sight that must have been. And I'll tell you, when Jesus comes again, he's not the battle-scarred warrior who drags himself into the fray. When Jesus comes again, he's the general who rides on the white horse. He came to put away sin the first time. The second time he comes without sin. That's not a part of that picture. And if you think about it for a minute, at his second coming, he presents a picture that we want. That's why we purify ourselves, or at least one of the reasons why we purify ourselves. Because when he comes again, we will be like him. And I can't wait for that. But as I'm waiting in anticipation, I can be like him in some senses. I can purify my heart. James, the 4th chapter, at verse 8. He says, come near to God. He will come near to you. Clean up your lives, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you people who can't make up your mind. We purify ourselves because of hope. There's some things we know. We've seen them. Jesus came the first time. He was that battle-scarred warrior. We know that. But we hope that he's coming the second time. So we purify our souls. 1 Peter, the second chapter, or first chapter, verse 21, beginning. When he did come, it was to lead you to have faith in God, who raised him from the dead, honored him in a glorious way. That's why you put your faith and hope in God. You've obeyed the truth, and your souls were made pure. And we pursue that every day, purifying our soul, and we purify ourselves. That's what John said, 1 John 3. That's where we began this discussion. Philippians, the 2nd chapter. He says, my dear friends, you always obeyed when I was with you. Now that I'm away, You should obey even more. So work with fear and trembling to discover what it really means to be saved. God will work with us to purify ourselves. Let's continue that thought. Romans, the 12th chapter, passage that Ted read this morning. Dear friends, God is good. So I beg you, offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. This is the most sensible way to serve God. Don't be like people in the world, but let God change the way you think. We work with God so that we can be pure. And if we'll let God change the way we think, then we'll know how to do everything that's good and pleasing to him. That's where we want to be. That's the kind of people we want to be. And hope is what lets us do that. That's not the only thing that encourages us to be pure. But I'm going to suggest that it may be the most powerful thing. It certainly is powerful. And if it's not the most powerful, it's right up there. So be pure, because you hope Jesus comes again. And he will.